Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the beginning of the new perek, the third perek of Bava Kama, the lower part of Daf Chof Zayin Omed Aleph. The third perek is perek Hameniach. Now the Mishnah. Hameniach es hakad birshus harabim. Uvo acher v'niskal bo v'shavro potter. A person placed a vessel. A kad will translate as a pitcher. He placed it in a thoroughfare. And someone else came along and tripped over it and broke it. Potter, he's exempt for paying for the broken kad. Ve'im huzak bo. And if the fellow who tripped over the vessel got hurt, got damaged, ba'al hechoves chayav benisko. The owner of the vessel is obligated to compensate for the damages. You'll notice that we've dashed, underlined, two words in our Gemara markings. The dash underlining is done with the intent of highlighting certain words or phrases. In this case, the Mishnah began by describing a kad that was placed down in a public thoroughfare. We offered a possible translation, a kad being a pitcher, some type of vessel. And then in continuing, the Mishnah describing that very vessel placed down in the Rishus HaRabim, it went on to say that if the person who tripped over it got damaged, so the owner of the, and then a new word appears, HaChovis. You would have expected the Mishnah to say, and the owner of the Kad, which was the subject of the opening line of the Mishnah, to have been used here at the end of the Mishnah, but yet that's not the case. The Gemara points this unusual feature, points it out. We have a triangle marking, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei / Mivneh heading, we indicate as follows, that the triangle highlights Birur Lashon Chavis and Kad, Derech Gimel Mekoros, where going to try to explain or clarify these terms, Chovis and Kad, through presenting three Tanaic sources. What is common to these three sources is Shepaschoi Be'echod Mehem. The source begins, each one of these sources features both of these words. You'll find them opening with one expression, O Bahamshech Muskar Esasheni. And in the continuation of the source, the other one is mentioned. We saw that already with our Mishnah. You may have noticed a number one over the Mishnah. This is because the Mishnah is the first of these three sources that we just made reference to. So in observing the Mishnah, our Gemara opens up by saying, Pasach Berkad V'siyein B'chovis. We've noted a question mark because the Gemara is saying this in a certain tone of wonderment, that here you have a Mishnah that opened up by citing as an example a kad, and then it ends off with a different word. Now, oftentimes you see the word chavis as translated as meaning a barrel, but in this case, as is true in many, many cases of the Shas, literal translations can actually be a pitfall in the understanding of the Gemara. We continue in the Gemara. Utna Nami. We find similarly in another Tanaic source, Ze ba b'chavito, v'ze ba b'kairoso. This Mishnah describes two people walking along, one carrying a chavis, and one carrying a kora, a beam. Nishbara kadoi shelze b'kairoso shelze. Here you find the switch around. Here, this source opened up with someone carrying a chavis, and then when the damage results, it says, and his kad broke through impact with the other one's kaira. The ruling in the Tanaic source is potter. The one carrying the beam is exempt. And here, the Gemara's point here isn't so much to focus on the rules of damage and payment, but rather on the presence of the two words as they seem to be as they seem to switch in the source. Nevertheless, the reason for the exemption, Rashi says very briefly, is because both had the right to walk in the public thoroughfare where they had been walking, so that the damage done by the beam to the vessel is not grounds for payment. Nevertheless, what do we see in this source? Posach bechovis v'siyem bekad. It opened up by describing two people walking and one of them carrying a chavis. And then when it comes to the damage, it describes the kad being damaged. Would you not have expected the chavis to be the one to have been damaged? The item to have been damaged? Utnanami, we have another source. Ze bo b'chaviso shel yayin, v'ze bo b'kadoi shel vash. Two people are carrying vessels. One is carrying a chavis of wine, and the other is carrying a kad full of honey. Now, the container of the honey at this point is called a kad. The story goes on. Nistika chavis shel dvash, v'shofach ze. And then as the story goes on, it describes the chavis containing the dvash cracked, and the fellow carrying the wine in his vessel spilled out the wine and thereby was able to save the honey from falling, from dripping, from flowing out onto the ground. Ein lo ela scharo. So as far as the payments are concerned in this scenario, the fellow who spilled out his wine can expect only payment for efforts exerted for in saving the honey. But as far as getting compensation for his wine that he had to spill out, that he cannot demand compensation for that. Schoro, as Rashi says, kishar poil, a worker's wage. The amount of effort that the person had expended in saving the honey, so that he can get compensation for, as any worker would get paid for his efforts, but not compensation for the wine itself. What do we want to emphasize in this source? Well, this source opened describing the honey being contained in a kad, and when the honey receptacle cracked, all of a sudden it was referred to as a chavis of honey. Posach bekad, v'siyem bechavis. Strangely, the source began by citing a kad as being the receptacle of the honey, and then it ends off by describing that very receptacle as a chavis. How do you account for this change in names of the very same vessel? Omar Rav Papa, hainu kad, hainu chavis. These two are, in effect, one and the same. You might ask, so then why change the reference? Lamai nafkamina, what legal ramification is there in what we are seeing. Lemekach u'memkar, it has ramifications within the realm of commercial transaction. Mekach u'memkar. We take a look at the Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is four lines from the end of the Rashi commentary. Lemekach u'memkar shebiyad hamocher loseis loyeze shiyirtze. Imagine someone is selling vessels. The seller has the right to give to the buyer whatever the seller wants to give him. Vafilu hisno imoy chovis. Even if, let us say, the buyer and seller reached an agreement that the seller will provide a chovis. Demashma gedoyla. Here we're getting into a very fine area of, we'll say, the literal translations as opposed to that which is implied by different expressions. So we say the mashma, it literally, it sounds, a chavis sounds like gedola, like a large vessel. Elsewhere, we see the term chavis as being associated with a barrel. So it's larger than a pitcher. But when it, in reality, noisein loikad shehi katana, this vendor that had reached an agreement with a buyer to provide a chavis, well, in actuality, when it comes to delivering the item, he can deliver to him the kad, which would be, which appears to be, which implies something smaller. However, we have to go on in the Gemara to gain greater clarity regarding the surrounding circumstances. So we turn to the Gemara. Heichi domi. What are the circumstances what are the circumstances surrounding that which we just described? Namely, an agreement is made to provide a chavis, and in delivery, a kad can be delivered. E lema ba'asro de kado lo koru chavis v'chavis lo koru kado. If you're dealing with an asra, a locale, where these two expressions are never interchanged, in a place that a kad is not referred to as a chavis, and a chavis is not referred to as a kad, ha lo koru la, then it's not, they're not one in the same. So that if an agreement was made to deliver a chavis, which implies a larger kind of receptacle, the smaller kad cannot be delivered. Lo tsricha. This case, namely the interchangeable element of chavis and kad, is necessary to be taught. Deruba karu lo lekada kalu chavisa chavisa. The majority of the people in that locale do make the distinction. The majority of the people in that locale refer to a kad as a kad and would never call a kad a chavis. And a chavis is a chavis and never referred to a chavis as a kad. However, v'iko nami, there are also dekoru lechaviso chakada ulekada chaviso. There are people, a minority of people in that locale, that will use the terms interchangeably. Even though a chavis implies a larger receptacle than a kad, they might refer to that larger vessel as a kad. And they might refer to the smaller vessel as a chavis. Now, when it comes to a seller and a buyer, and an agreement had been reached to transfer a chavis, in other words, to deliver a chavis, and in actuality, a kad is delivered, and we say that's okay. That is the case in such a locale where, even though the majority distinguish between the two. A minority do not. In other words, a minority will use the terms interchangeably. Mahu detema zil basa ruba. On my own, I would have thought, as is the case in many, many areas of halacha where we determine matters by the majority. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Kamash Malon, we are taught here in these through these Tanaic sources and the interchangeable use of these words, De'ein Hoychin B'Momon Achar HaRoiv, that when it comes to matters of finance, of money, commercial matters, as are affected by money, we don't follow the majority. Rashi at the top, Ein Hoychin B'Momon Achar HaRoiv, Hecha de mistapka lon milsa, where there is an element of doubt. Kagoin hocha, like you see over here. Ukagon, there's a case cited later in the Masechta, Hamoichusher lechaver v'nimtza nakon. A man sells an ox to his friend. Someone buys an ox, and it turns out that this ox is a wild animal. It's a goring animal. Dangerous animal prone to goring. Lo amrinon bosa ruba zil ulecharisha kanoi. We do not say, follow the majority, and the majority of people buy oxen for plowing purposes. Vahavi tois, and such a transaction where you purchased an ox and it turned out to be goring would have been termed a mistake, because the majority buy for plowing purposes, and a goring ox is not suitable for that. And other, so just once again, we do not say that. Elo Omar, Hamotzi Mechaver Levoraya. In such a case, after such a transaction is made, the buyer who, let us say, demands his money back, he wants to remove from the seller his money. So he's Motzi. Motzi means to take out. Motzi Mechaver wants to take his money away from the seller. Olav Haraya, if you want to get something away from someone, to take something away from somebody, then the burden of proof is upon you. V'yachol omar lo, the seller in such a case could say, L'shchita machartiv loch, I sold you the ox for meat purposes, for slaughtering purposes, even though only the minority of people buy oxen for slaughtering purposes. This ruling is an outcome of the principle of Ein Hoychin B'Mamon Achar HaRov. When it comes to matters of defining or determining an element of doubt, when it comes to money matters, commercial matters, we don't follow the majority. Therefore, in a region where Chavis and Kad are used interchangeably, even though by a minority of the people there, someone who ordered a chavis and the vendor delivers a kad, which implies a smaller type vessel, the deal is a deal, and you cannot call it off on the grounds of a mistake. Uvo acher v'niskal bo v'shibro poter. We described in the Mishnah, someone placing a vessel in a public thoroughfare, someone walking along trips upon it, breaks it, he is exempt. He does not have to pay for the breaking. Amai Potter, why is he held exempt? Why is he viewed as exempt? Should he not have watched where he walks? Omri debay rav mishmei derav. Notice the diamond on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei being the topic heading and Mivneh structural note, which we combine into one note, the diamond is introduced. Dalid Deus Loma Potter Niskal Sheshibra Chovis V'Mishnosenu. Four explanations as to why there is an exemption for the one who tripped upon and broke the vessel. So it is stated in the name of Rav, the circumstances of the Mishnah b'memali rishus rabim kula chavius. The entire public thoroughfare was blocked off by chovios. We'll translate chovios as being barrels. Someone placed barrels across a public thoroughfare, and as a result, if you're going to ask, well, shouldn't he have watched where he's walking? He had no other option. He had to walk, we'll say, walk into the barrels. Otherwise, how would he continue on the public thoroughfare? Shmuel Omar ba'afei lo shanu. Shmuel says that the circumstances of the Mishnah are one of darkness. Afela, darkness. So if you're going to ask, shouldn't he have looked where he's going? It was dark. He couldn't see. Rabbi Yochanan Omar bekeren zovis. Rabbi Yochanan says it happened by rounding the corner. Rashi bekeren zovis. Kishenichnosen mimovui lemovui min hatzad. Hinicha betzara movui etzel hakeren. As we said, the barrel was placed at the edge of a corner, turning from one street into another. A movui, the term Rashi used literally is an alley. So he was turning from one alley into the other, and as he turned, he immediately ran into the barrel. He couldn't have seen it beforehand. So if your question is, should he not have watched where he's walking? He wasn't able to because the barrel was placed just as he had turned the corner and could not have seen it beforehand. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section and a little starred note accompanying this in the margin reads as follows. So Graham Lashem Dilug. The purpose of these brackets is for an initial skipping. In order to create the impression of continuity of the four explanations. Besocha Zagrayim, within the brackets, HaGemara Meira Shaloshan HaMishneh Yoser Meduyuk Lefi Shmuel V'Rabbi Yochanan Meirav. The Gemara will be pointing out that the language of the Mishnah would be more accurate according to the approach of Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan more so than the approach of Rav. Before we get to those details, as we indicated before, we skip the brackets momentarily, and the Gemara reads after the brackets. Use your bracket length indicator, and you'll see where they end. At that point, Omar Le, Rabbi Abba, Ravashi, Hochi Amri b'Marova Mishmei de Rebbe Eloi. Thusly, they say in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rabbi Eloi. Regarding our Mishnah, why is he potter? Why is he exempt for the breaking of the vessel? Lefi she'ein darkon shel b'nei odom lizboinen bedrochim. It's not the way of people to concentrate, to look with great care where they're going. People are not expected, it's not the way of people to watch where they're going. So if you initially would ask, why should there be exemption? Shouldn't he analyze, look carefully where he's walking? So we say it's not the way of people to walk in that fashion. As we mentioned, the bracketed section deals with an analysis of the different statements up till that point with Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan in light of the language of the Mishnah. So we continue, we turn back to the brackets. Omar of Papa, Lo Daiko Masnisen, Elo O Kishmuel O Rabbi Yochanan. The precise reading, or through precise reading of the Mishnah, we come out with the approach taken like either Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan. But like Rav, you'll find it's not as, we'll say, the Mishnah doesn't read with precision in the spirit of Rav's teaching. And let's continue. We'll see that Morris spells this out. De'i kirav. If Rav's approach were to be accepted, namely the circumstances of someone having filled the public thoroughfare with barrels. In other words, lining the whole width of the public thoroughfare with barrels. And the Mishnah described someone tripping over one of the barrels, and he's exempt for the breaking. So the Gemara says, De'i kerav, if Rav's approach or Rav's circumstances were in fact those of the Mishnah, Ma'iriya Niskal, why does the Mishnah speak about someone tripping over the barrel? Afilu shovar nami, even with deliberate breaking of the barrel, there should be exemption. Omar Rav Zvid Mishmei Durava. Hu adin afilu shovar? You're right. In fact, the same law, namely exemption for breakage of barrel, would apply even with deliberate smashing. After all, the fellow who placed the barrels across the width of the highway of the public thoroughfare had no right to do that. So I want to get to the other side. I want to continue through the public thoroughfare. And I deliberately break the barrel, I would be exempt. So then the question is, why does the Mishnah feature tripping over it? V'hai dekotoni niskal. And the choice of the term niskal is idi deboi lemisnah seifa, since the Mishnah taught another point in the continuation of the Mishnah, namely v'imhuzak bo Baal Chovis Chaya Benisko, if he got hurt, then the owner of the vessel must compensate for the damage, for his whatever body damages he suffered, the one who was walking on the road. So the Seifa tells us that the owner of the vessel has to compensate for damages. Well, that is true, the Dafka Niska, it's only if the victim tripped over the barrel. Aval Shiber Loi. But if there was deliberate breaking of the vessel, true, in the Reisha he would have been exempt for the damage done to the vessel. But as far as the Seifa is concerned, if in fact there was deliberate breaking of the vessel, I could not teach this din that the Baal HaChovis is Chayav. My time, why is that the case? Who does it ganafshe? Because in a case where there was a deliberate breaking of the vessel, he brought damage upon himself. And you can't hold the owner of the vessel responsible for the body damages experienced by the guy who deliberately broke the vessel. As a result of this consideration, namely the Seifa, Kotoni Reisha Niska, that's why the Reisha chose to use the term Niskal, tripping over it, in using that term, so both points of the Mishnah can be taught, namely the exemption for paying for the vessel and the damage to the person who experienced damage by tripping over the barrel. The owner of the vessel would have to then pay. Omar le Rabbi Abba le Ravashi, Hochi Ami b'Marov v'Mishmei de Rabbi Loi. Thusly, it is said in Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rabbi Loi, why the Mishnah says there is an exemption for the breaking of the vessel. L'fi she'ein darkon shel b'nei adam l'zbeinu drachim. It's not the way of people to concentrate on their path, on their walking on roads. Have uvda. Benahardo v'chiev Shmuel, bePumbedisa v'chiev Rava. There was an incident in Nahardo of someone who tripped over a barrel in broad daylight, and Shmuel held the one who tripped over the barrel as being obligated to compensate. A similar incident happened in Pumbedisa, and Rava, or some yourselves have, Rabba held the one who broke the vessel obligated to pay for it. Bishlamo Shmuel, Kishmaitse. Shmuel, in holding responsibility for the one who broke the vessel, is consistent with what he taught above. Above, Shmuel explained the exemption of the Mishnah because the tripping over took place ba'afela, in darkness. The incident just described here, the maisa, the uvda, which means the maisa, the incident in the hardah, is someone tripped over a vessel during the daytime. Oh, during the daytime, you have to pay for the vessel over which you tripped. Elo Rava, as far as Rava is concerned, Lema Kishmuel Svirale, should we say that Rava holds like Shmuel? Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, not so. But rather, Rava was talking about a specific circumstance. Karno de Atzra Have. First we look at Rashi, Karno de Atzri, Karen Zovis, Hasmucha Lebeis Habad. We're talking about a Karen Zovis is a corner, you know, as we speak about rounding the corner, and around the corner there was an olive press. We look as well in the Rabbeinu Hananel commentary, which is noted by a star, and at that point he says, "When let's read it together." The askina vasikna, the chihavi uvda, the incident, the maisa that Rava described, where there was the tripping over and the breaking of a barrel, and the person was held responsible. Bekarna de be'atzra have, it was the karna de be'atzra that we saw described already in Rashi. The kevon de brishus ko'avdi, since the placing of the barrels was done legally, mechayvinon la'ivrin v'shavim liyuni emezal, we expect the people walking by to watch where they're going. Aval zulasam, but otherwise, ba'fela obekeren zavislo, if you were talking about darkness or rounding a standard corner, then no, there would be no obligation. Diamrinon ein derech b'nei odom lizbonei bedrachim. So it's, as far as Rava is concerned, as we see here in the Rabbeinu Hananel, if the barrel that was broken either in darkness or by someone rounding the corner, then there would be no obligation to pay. However, where the barrel is placed under, say, legally acceptable circumstances, people are expected to watch where they're going, and only then would they have to pay for the breaking of the vessel. It's recommended to look back at the Rashi where he continues, there he says, "Dehayil ubrishus ko'avdi shemin hogem hoyokain." The communal practice was as follows: Kishohoisa beisabad malei bnei adam, when the olive press was filled with people, with customers, hayu haboyim moshivin kleim brishus haravim umamtinen ad shiyetsu elu. Additional customers would come with their vessels and wait in the street. They would place their vessels down in the street, waiting for the people currently in the olive press to clear out, enabling the new customers to go in. So in the meantime, people had placed their barrels in the public thoroughfare. Under those circumstances, Rava says that if someone trips over one of those barrels, he will have to compensate. So let's go back to the Gemara, reading it, the entire phrase again. Omar Rav Papa, Karno de Atzra Havi, the Kevon de Brishus Koavdi, since the public placed their barrels then there with municipal permission, Iboya Le Liuni Mezal, the fellow walking by should have watched where he was going. Sholach Le Rav Chista Le Rav Nachman. Hare Omru. Rav Chista sends to Rav Nachman a query. He says, it has been said, L'Rekuva Shalosh, here we'll see different payment rates for different forms of damage. It's almost like an official catalog of payment rates for different damages. L'Rekuva Shalosh. What's Rekuva? So, Rashi points out, it was the practice of judges. That if someone kicked someone else with his arkuva, arkuva is one of a person's body joints, whether it be a knee, or in other contexts you might see it referred to as an elbow, but he impacted someone else with his arkuva for embarrassment caused 3 sela. Sela is a type of coin. 3 sela would be paid. The knocking someone, impacting someone with one's elbow, Rashi says, is considered a greater form of embarrassment than shoving someone with your hands. So that's L'Rekuva Shalosh. Rav Chista continues with his note to Rav Nachman, U'L'Bi'ito Chomesh, for kicking someone with one's foot, you would pay 5 for embarrassment. U'L'Snukris Shloshesrei. Snukris, Rashi says, is a donkey saddle, taking someone's donkey's saddle and hitting his friend with it, would have to pay 13. Lefanda demora, ulekufino demora mai. And here is where Rav Chista's question comes to a head. What about impacting someone with fanda demora? Rashi says, panda demora is base, yad, shell, and he gives you a French word. It would be the handle of a shovel. Kufina demora, Rashi says, habarzel atzmo etzel hanekev. That's the metal part of the shovel. That's near the hole, which is the point at which the handle is attached to the spade or the shovel in question. So what about impacting someone with a panda demora or a kufina demora? Sholach le Rav Nachman in response questions Rav Chista's entire approach. He says, Chista, Chista, Knoso komagvis b'movel. Knas is a type of payment that is characterized by its fixed nature, as opposed to a payment that one makes through evaluating the level of damage caused. A knas inevitably is a type of payment that's of a fixed nature. The Tosfos at the bottom part of the page, Knosso Komagvis Bebovel, Lav Knosso, we're not talking about an official knas. An official knas are those kind of payments that if the offender were to admit he did it, he would actually be exempt. You find in the Torah, Shloshim Shel Eved, Chamishim of Motzish of Oines and Mefate, Mea of Motzi Shemra. Those are fixed Torah payments. That's not what this is. Rather, din knasahu kedamrinu b'chovel demilsa delesbo fisaron kis. It said in the perek hachovel of this masechta that matters that do not result in actual financial loss. Lo avdinon shechusayu. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, so we in Bavel, which is the diaspora outside of Eretz Yisrael, we do not obligate people. Avdinon shechus is a reference to serving as the emissaries of the judges of the land of Israel. We do not function as such to enable collection of payments like that. Payments where there's no chisaron kis, payments where there's no actual financial loss. Here we're talking about payments for embarrassment. There's no financial loss involved. And hence, Rav Nachman questions Rav Chisda's entire approach. How can you be asking about how much should be paid in the context of these kinds of payments, payments for embarrassment, for boishes, which we do not, prosecute outside of Eretz Yisrael. So let's read that again in the Gemara. Sholach Lei, Rav Nachman sends to Rav Chisda, saying, Chisda, Knoso Komagvis Bebovel? Are you implying that we make collections of Knas type payments? Emoli Gufo di Uvdo Hechi Havi. Please tell me what were the actual circumstances behind that which you're asking concerning the Panda Demora and the Kufina Demora. What happened that's motivating you to ask this question when you're dealing with on the face of things a type of payment that you would know we don't prosecute outside of Eretz Yisrael. We don't prosecute these kinds of things in Bavel. So Sholach Le, Rav Chisda sent in response, it's a couple lines to see what the response is, Dahu Gargusa de Beitre, there was a water supply. Gargusa, Rashi says, Bor Mayim Mechunosim Lahashkei Sodos, it's a water pit of gathered water as opposed to a live spring, and this bor mayim, this water pit, is used to water the fields, the neighboring fields. And this gargusa was owned de beitre. It's owned by two. De chol yoima havedoli chad minayu. Each one would use it on alternating days. Also chad kodoli biyoima dolo dileyan. One of the two came and started drawing water from it on a day that wasn't his day, it wasn't his turn, it wasn't his day to draw from it. Amalei Yumadidihu, the rightful individual, said, hey, what are you doing? It's my day. Lo Ashkechbe, the other fellow, didn't pay any attention. Just continued drawing water at his friend's expense. Shokal Panda Demoro Machied. So the fellow who was deprived, took his panda demora, which we described before as the handle of his shovel, and hit the guy. Omarlei, so Rav Nachman says, oh, that was the case. Mea pandi bepando limche. Let him beat him 100 times. This guy is a thief. He's stealing the other fellow's water. Afilu lemand Omar lo ovid inish dino lenafshei. Even according to the opinion that says a person cannot take the law into his own hands. Now, this is an expression of ovid inish dino lenafshei, meaning a person cannot, let's say, prosecute a case on his own. In other words, a person might, impose a retribution or extract payment to the tune of or in accordance with what a court would have ruled, but he does so without going to a court. That's called Ovid Inish Dina. Dina is the law, Lenafshei, for himself, namely without a court appearance. There are those that say that a person is not allowed to do that. Lo ovid inish dino lenafshei. In this case, however, Rav Nachman says, even according to that opinion, where a person stands to suffer a loss, in other words, until going to the court seeking compensation, you're going to experience a loss, then Ovid in Ishdin Lafshe, you have a right to take the law into your own hands. Before we go further, we look in the Rashi. Lo Ovid in Ishdin Lafshe, Vafilu Din Emes. Even if what you're trying to impose on the other fellow is the right outcome, Lo Yasu Li Atzmi Li Yefitz Ladayin, don't do it on your own, rather go to the judge. However, B'mokoyim Di'ika Pseida, if you're going to experience a loss until you get to the court, in other words, you're suffering immediate loss. By the time you get to the court, you will have experienced a loss. And until you finally finally get to the court, in the meantime, this fellow is continuing to draw water. Velo yoda my dolly, and you'll not know how much he actually drew. Oshema yiflu amayim in abor vein lo piroin lazeh to call mafsid, and it might be that he'll finish off all the water from the pit, and he doesn't have any means of compensating you for what your loss is going to be. Ki hai gavno, circumstances like that. Ovid in Ishdin Lenavshe, you have a right to take the law into your own hands. So Rav Nachman saw nothing wrong with this guy whacking the fellow, stealing the water. It was basically the only way for him to stop the thief and prevent his own loss. Reference was made to a machlokes, namely, Ovid in Ishdin Lafshe or not. And that machlokis is now focused upon in the Gemara, the Itmar. Rav Yehuda Omar, lo Ovid in Ishdin Lafshe. Rav Nachman Omar, Ovid in Ishdin Lafshe. Rav Yehuda says a person is not allowed to take the law into his own hands, to act on his own, even though what he would be doing is something that that would have been the ruling of the court. You can't do it on your own. You have to go to the court. And Rav Nachman says a person is allowed to behave thusly. Hey chodik o pseida kuleyamolo pligi de ovid inish dila nafshe, where there would be loss to the wronged party by waiting till you get to court, then everyone agrees. Even Rav Yehuda will concede that ovid inish dila nafshe. Ki pligi, when does the controversy between the disagreement between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman arise? Hecha de lekop seda, where there would be no loss in waiting till you get to court. Rav Yehuda Omar, lo avid inish dila nafshe. The kevon de lekop seda lezuk kame dayona. You don't have a right to take the law into your own hands, since you're not going to experience any additional loss by waiting till you get to court. You have to go to the court. Rav Nachman Omar, Ovid in Ishdila Nafshe, a person can act on his own. The Kevon de Bedin Ovid Lo Torach, since what he is doing is Bedin, is a correct outcome, a correct ruling. So he's not going to trouble himself. He's not expected to trouble himself to go to the court. As we look ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice a triangle marking on the side of the Gemara. The Mivneh heading, the structural note, indicates Kushyos al Rav Yehuda. The triangle, as it's positioned with its point facing upwards, represents questions on Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda had said, "Lo ovid inish dila nafshe." If you look on ahead in this sugya onto Daf Chof Ches Omid Aleph, You'll find in the middle of the Omid, or almost in the middle of the Omid, triangles begin appearing in an inverted direction. At that point, Gemara will introduce questions that appear to indicate that a person is not allowed to take the law into his own hands, even b'mokom pseida. So at that point, there's going to be a new direction in the Gemara, whereas up till that point, we are thinking that b'mokom pseida, where you would be experiencing a loss by waiting to go to the court, everyone agrees of it, inish din l'nafshei, in the middle of chesam and aleph, that point will be brought into question. In the meantime, though, we have questions that are raised against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, lo ovid inish din l'nafshei. Here we'll see sources, halachas that seem to indicate otherwise. So in the Gemara, Mosiv Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana raises an objection to what we will see as an objection on Rabbi Yehuda. Ben Bagbag Oimer. Bagbag was the name of a Tana, or those commentaries that refer to the seemingly odd name, but for our purposes, Ben Bagbag is the name of a Tana, says, Al tikones l'chotzu chavircha lito l'sholcho shelo b'rishus. Do not enter your friend's property to take that which is yours, but entering Shalobi without his permission, entering in a stealthful fashion, why not? Shema tira alav kiganov, you might appear as a thief, and it's not worth your while appearing as a thief. Ela Shvor Shinov Vemolo Sheliani Notel. Rather, now here we're going to give a literal translation, and rather smash his teeth and say, I am taking that which is mine. Rashi says, El Shvor Shinov, at the end of the Rashi commentary, Klomar, it means to say, Kach Bechozko, take with force. So you're going to force your way in to your friend's property, not in a stealthful fashion, not to appear as a thief, but in an open, forceful fashion, and declare, I'm taking that which is mine. Well, that's a Kashi Rav Yehuda. That you see is a question on Rav Yehuda. Here you're taking something in a forceful way on your own. So that's Rav Kahana's question. Omar le imcha. So, let us assume that the Omarle is Rav Yehuda, upon whom this question was raised. So he says in response, Imcha, and we're reading at the top of Daf Chof Ches Amud Aleph. Rashi explains this word, Imcha, bitmiah, with, you read it with a tone of wonderment. Klomar, v'chi nira beinecha, shetshuvazu hoigenesi. Does this appear to be a correct reaction to what I've said? Lishna achrina imcha te tshuva zu she'ein o klum. Rav Yehuda is responding that, do you think that what you said is a reasonable response to my halacha? Ben Bagbag yichidohu pligi rabbonon olei. Ben Bagbag is an individual opinion, and the majority opinion of the rabbis disagree. So whereas Ben Bagbag said you can take the law into your own hands, the Rabbanan would disagree with that. Namely, they would hold like me. That's the first approach, let's say, in defense of Rabbi Yehuda. Number two, Rabbi Yanai Omar, my Shvor Hashinov. What does Shvor Hashinov mean, which we translated before as smash his teeth, which Rashi said means take forcefully. No, it doesn't mean that. Rather, bedin. Bedin means the phrase shvor hashinov, it means take him to a court of law. So if one smash his teeth, it means through litigation in a court of law. It doesn't mean physically, forcefully taking your item. The Gemara asks, Ihachi ve'emor lo, if so, that we're talking about a court of law, then in the source, the term at the last line of Chav Zayin of Aleph's words, ve'emor lo sheli ani notel, emor lo is an expression in the singular form, grammatically. Ve'emor lo, and tell him in the singular. Ve'omrim lo mi'boyale. The language of the source should have read, and they say to him, that namely, the court. The court is made of three judges. Another problem, Shali ani notel, in the original source, Ben Bagbag spoke about the fellow saying, I am taking my thing. But if you're going to accept the Rabbi Yanai's explanation, the language should have been, Shalo hu notel mi boyale. He is taking his thing, namely the court is speaking, indicating that the owner of the item is taking his thing, is what it should have said. But that's not what's appeared in the source. Kashya, so this remains a point of difficulty. So Rav Yanai's answer of Shvor Shino Bedin doesn't read so smoothly into the original source. So, as far as we're concerned, we're left with the first approach that Rav Yehuda said in response to Rav Kana's question, that citing as a question to me that which Ben Bagbag rules, that's not a question. Ben Bagbag is an individual opinion, and the majority would disagree and rather hold like me, says Rav Yehuda. As you can see, we have more questions as we go along, as the triangles indicate. But Mirza Shem will pick up with this discussion in our next shiur. In the meantime, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.